This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. وطبتم وطاب سعيكم وممشاكم وتبوأتم جميعا من الجنة منزلا. We'd like to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the ability to meet in one of the masajid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remember him and to go over some ahkam and rulings. And secondly, we'd like to thank the masjid, may Allah reward them and the committee for organizing and allowing us to organize such events and such reminders that the Muslim is in need of. And thirdly, we'd like to thank all the attendees for the taking the time out and coming and inshallah benefiting something. And finally, we'd like to thank our guest speaker, even though alhamdulillah he's not a guest anymore, our Ustad Sheikh Abu Taymiyyah Muhammad Al Jilani Hafidhahu Allah. The Ustad Hafidhahu Allah is one of the regulars, alhamdulillah, and he's from the city of Leicester. And which is close by, so alhamdulillah, he's welcome to come anytime as well. He wants to come and remind the brothers. And inshallah, the Ustad Hafidhahullah has agreed to give us a reminder on some of ahkam and virtues of the great blessed month of Ramadan. So without further ado, inshallah, we'll hand over the mic to the Ustad.
الحمد لله الذي جعل الدين مراتب ودرجات وصير للعلم به وصولا ومهمات وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله حقا وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صدقا. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Brothers and sisters, before I start, I can see already one of the uncles getting all the youngsters of the back hall. It's mamnu', it's prohibited, unless a person has back problem or he's become old where he struggles to sit without leaning on something, to sit at the back leaning on the wall. Try and get as forward as much as possible. I want to ask you a question. When Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, how far was he sitting from the Prophet? I'm going to ask one of the kids. I'm a bit of a bully when it comes to this.
His knees to the knee.
Sorry?
Knees to the knee.
Knees to the knee. That's how close he was. That's how close he was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that should teach us when a reminder, or when a khutbah, or when a lecture, whatever it might be, that's being given inside the message, that we try to get as close as possible. The second thing is, I really don't agree with me being referred to as Sheikh, and I've mentioned it many times before as well. The Mashayikh are the Mashayikh who teach inside the Haram. You don't know the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's Masjid. Our teachers who currently teach us now, you go into the Haram, you find that the Mashayikh are teaching in there. You find that being in Britain, here in the West, the standard has dropped so much that everybody is called the Sheikh. Everybody is called a Sheikh. You know, a person, he comes and he gives a small reminder, everybody refers to him as Sheikh. The likes of Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, Sheikh Sulaiman Al-Rahili, those who teach inside the Haram and also in the Mecca, you know, Hayat Kibar Al-Ulama, those in Egypt, those in, you know, Al-Yemen. These are the scholars, these are the Mashayikh, those who have been studying, forget about teaching, just studying for all 20 years. I know I have some friends, some contemporaries, some brothers who we seek knowledge with that I read to inside the Haram, in the Prophet's Masjid, who have memorized Bukhari and Muslim. You know Bukhari and Muslim? They have memorized Bukhari and Muslim, and they're just like ordinary people. Just like ordinary people, and they would feel embarrassed to be called Sheikh. So imagine us who just started seeking knowledge a couple of years. Inshallah ta'ala, today guys, we want to speak about how the Salaf. And when we say the word Salaf, who we intend by it is the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, the Tabi'a Tabi'een. In this day and age, we find that some may have become allergic to the word Salaf. It's not a football team that some brothers have made it out as, or like a gang, you know. Rather, when we say the Salaf, we intend by the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, the Tabi'a Tabi'een. The greatest of those to ever walk on the face of this earth. How they used to adorn themselves. How they used to act in the month of Ramadan. Because guys, if we want to be from the best of the people, then we have a blueprint to follow. You know an engineer, when he goes and constructs a building, he has a blueprint that he follows, right? And same to us. When it comes to Al-Islam, we have a blueprint. We have a blueprint that the Sahaba, those who lived with the Prophet ﷺ and those who came after them, the Tabi'in, the Tabi'at Tabi'in, how they acted. Prophet ﷺ, he told us, خَيْرُكُمْ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. The best of you is my generation. He's talking to the Sahaba. Then those who are like them, sorry, those who came after them, who? The Tabi'in. The Tabi'ut Tabi'in also. And then ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. So guys, in order to be the best, we have to try and be like them. Every step that we take, every move that we make, what we say, how we act, when we enter into Al-Hajj, when we enter into the month of Ramadan, whatever we do in our salawat, we look at them to try and perfect our religion. Most of us, we know an individual called Muhammad Ali. Undoubtedly the best boxer to ever walk on the face of this earth. Is there anyone here that doesn't know him? Muhammad Ali, undoubtedly the greatest boxer to ever walk on the face of this earth. If you don't know him, put your hand up. So it's unanimously agreed here in the Masjid that we all know who he is. Say he was the greatest. Huh? I fly, what was it? I fly like a wing and I sting like a bee. I fly like a bird, what was it? Something like that. Ala kullin, this individual, guys, brothers and sisters, just last year, he passed away a couple of days before the month of Ramadan. Guys, if only we knew the blessing of being able to reach the month of Ramadan. Forget about, you know, acting and performing the salawat and also doing different ibadat. Just being able to reach the month of Ramadan. The blessing that it comes with. And then that which comes with it, you know, the ibadat. Why do you think the Salaf, they would ask 6 months before the month of Ramadan, Allahumma balighna Ramadan? Why? 6 months. Not 1 week, not a couple of days, not a few days. 6 months before the Ramadan, they would say, oh Allah, enable us, give us the success to be able to reach the month of Ramadan. You know? And subhanAllah, you find that the reality of the matter is, many people, they reach the month of Ramadan and they don't realize. They don't realize, guys, what they haven't saw, what they are about to earn, what they could potentially earn. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, guys, he told us in an authentic hadith that was narrated by Ibn Majah, rahimahullah ta'ala, and the one that's speaking about the hadith is Talhatu ibn Ubaidillah, the great Sahabi. Talha ibn Ubaidillah, guys, he says that there was a time when two men came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَكَانَ إِسْلَامُهُمَا جَمِيعًا. They both embraced Al-Islam at the same time. What happened? They both entered into Islam at the same time. فَكَانَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَشَدُ اجْتِهَادًا مِنَ الْآخَرَ فَاسْتُشْهِدَ. One of them was someone who used to strive much. He strived more than the other individual. And he died as a martyr. He died as a martyr. The other person, he lived for an extra year. He lived for an extra year. So Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he saw a dream. He saw a very beautiful dream. He saw that he was sitting in front of the gates of Al-Jannah. فَخَرَجَ خَارِجٌ Someone came out and he commanded the second person, not the one who died as a martyr, the second one who lived a year after the first one, to enter into Al-Jannah first. He went in and came back out again. Then he told the martyr, it's your turn to get into Al-Jannah. And then he came back out again and he told Talha ibn Ubaidillah, go back, your time is not here yet. So Talha ibn Ubaidillah, he told everyone, he started telling his companions, and the companions became amazed. Why would the second one, who wasn't as good from the apparent as the first one, enter into Al-Jannah first? Are you with me, guys? So when the Prophet ﷺ heard this, he said, بِمَا تَعْجِبُونَ Why are you amazed and astonished of this dream? Why? So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, didn't the second person يَسْكُنُ أَوْ عَاشَ بَعْدُهُ سَنَةً فَأَدْرَكَ رَمَضَانَ فَصَامَ وَصَلَّى وَسَجَدَ سَجَدَاتِ Didn't the second person live an extra year? He managed to reach the month of Ramadan. He prayed and he fasted. He said, "Nah." And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "فَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ That which is between them both is the distance of the heavens and the earth." Just for managing to reach and being able to do them ibadat. An extra year that he lived. And don't get it twisted. Dying as a martyr in the correct way, know what ISIS and all these heretics are doing. It comes with immense reward. As for what they're doing, it has absolutely nothing to do with the religion. فَشَاهِدُ مِنَ الْكَلَامِ Guys, just knowing this hadith, if we never knew any other hadith except this one, to show you the immense, magnificent, great reward that one could get out of, you know, the month of Ramadan. And then we come and we blow it. No? They have an example when it comes to football. On the 96th minute, you know, the game is 0-0. He gets a chance, open goal, and he misses. What does everyone say? Oh, he missed, open goal. What an opportunity that has gone away. Then you have an example of a guy who really loves his wife. A guy who really, really loves his wife. He gets angry, he divorces her. He says, talaq, 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 3 times in one sitting. He doesn't know he counts as one. So he becomes depressed, he gets upset. He feels like, halas, you know, the love of his life is gone. He can't ever get back with her. Because when you divorce the woman 3 times, halas, you can't get back with her. Until she goes and gets married to someone else, she gets divorced, then you might be able to get married to her. So what happens? The Shaykh, he tells him, "Ya akhi, listen. If you divorce a woman 3 times in one sitting, it counts as one. Pay attention here. When in one sitting goes talaq, 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 that counts as one. Yani, when you look at, I don't want to go too much into detail and elaborate on the different circumstances of this, I'm just giving you a general, you know, scenario. It counts as one. But let's just say, for example, I divorce 1 time, then 1 week later I take her back, then 2 weeks later I divorce her and get us 2, right? Then 1 month later she gets me angry, I divorce her, and then I take my... This is now different to this one. This is all in one sitting. After he got upset, he blew the chance. The Shaykh tells him, he can get back with her. Counts as one. What does he do again? He divorces again. Out of his anger. Is this person normal? He's just been given a great chance and he blows it. And likewise, guys, with the month of Ramadan. The Prophet wasallam, he went on the minbar. He went on the minbar and he said, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. 3 times. They asked him, Ya Rasulullah, why are you saying Ameen for? The Prophet wasallam, he said, Atani Jibreel. Jibril came to me. He said, رَغِمَ أَنْفُ رَجُلٍ أَدْرَكَ رَمَضَانَ فَلَمْ يُخْبَرُ لَهُ. Wretched is that individual who manages to reach Ramadan and he's not forgiven. So Jibril said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, say Ameen. And he said Ameen. Second thing he mentioned was, رَغِمَ أَنْفُ رَجُلٍ أَدْرَكَ وَالِدَيْهِ وَلَمْ يُدْخِلْهُ الْجَنَّةِ. Wretched is that individual who manages to reach his parents alive and he doesn't enter into a Jannah. Just being good to them, you know, speaking to them in a very nice, you know, nice way. But today you find, forget about saying uff that Allah talks about in the Quran. وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. تَنْهَرْهُمَا means don't discipline them. Or in Somali they say هَعَنَانَنِن. فَقُلْ لَهُمَّا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. And speak to them in a very nice, noble way. Today you find guys who beat their wives, not their wives. They do that, but their mums. Wallahi, they hit their mums. They become normal. So wretched is this individual, this opportunity that you have. For Shahid ibn al-Kalam, guys, we have a beautiful opportunity. Do not blow this opportunity. You don't know if you're going to get another year. We have the salawat. You know about salawat, right? We get five a day, right? We have to pray five times a day. And between a salawat, how many days is it? Between Fajr and Dhuhr, how many days is it? How many days? Between Fajr and Dhuhr. Everyone looks confused. It's a couple of hours. It's not days. And you know what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? He said, إِذَا قُمْتَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَصَلِّ صَلَاةَ مُوَدِّعٍ. When you stand up for your prayer, then pray the farewell prayer, guys. Because there's a chance that you might not get another salat. You might not reach the dhuhr. You pray dhuhr, you might not reach asr. And I always mention that, guys, you're not going to get a WhatsApp message or Facebook, you know, Twitter message telling you, akhi, get ready, you've got a week before you die. The malaika doesn't call you, akhi. Ya'tikum baghta, as Allah mentions. It comes to you unexpectedly. So just like we've been told about the prayer, pray your farewell prayer. Guys, you might not get another Ramadan. Do you think Muhammad Ali, Ali rahmatullah, thought he was going to die a couple of days before the month of Ramadan? Rather, most people, once they reach, you know, 10 days before the Ramadan, they're preparing. Go to the supermarkets, they go to the mall, to prepare the house, to fill the house with all kinds of food. They don't want to be running around in the month of Ramadan. Right? But death came to him. There's other stories. But guy, he was in a car with a sister the night before the month of Ramadan. He ended up getting hit by a car. The stories of this is many. Allah is a ni'mah. It's a blessing that we're able here to breathe in the month of Ramadan. So use this, guy, as an opportunity, you know, to really seize this opportunity in the month of Ramadan. What I want to, you know, give a lot of concern to guys is the month of Quran. It's the month of Quran. How the Salaf, they were in the month of Ramadan. Because obviously, guys, it is the month where the Quran came down, right? شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. Before I do that, I give you different examples of the tremendous of the tabi'een, the tabi'at tabi'een, how they were with the Qur'an. I want to mention this point. And every lecture, inshallah, that I do in the month of Ramadan, and I'm going to keep mentioning this point, is that which is pertaining the heart. A couple of days ago, I done a khutbah, I dedicated half of the khutbah to this issue. Is the issue pertaining the heart? Wallahi, guys, we are a nation, a people that has been afflicted, wallahi, trialed. We are trying to perfect our outer appearance. Our outer appearance, the way we look. You know, guys, you have some sisters from the non-Muslim and the Muslim sisters now who imitate these kind of sisters. I remember when I was working a couple of years ago in a call center, there was this lady that was being mocked. She leaked out to her workers, or those people that works with her, that she wakes up 4 hours before the time of a shift. Why? In order to put makeup, to put all these chemicals on her face, to beautify herself. You know, what do they call it? Makeup and sisters know what I'm talking about. All these different, you know, chemicals and makeup foundation that they put on their face. So everyone's mocking her, taking the mick out of her. Just in order to get some attention from, you know, the opposite sex there in the, those who are working with her. This is what women live on, right? They love attention. So she spends all that time, you know, preparing, beautifying herself, just so she could look nice when she's working with her workers. Then you have the guy. The guy might spend half his day in the gym. 200 kilos he can pick up. He can go as far as bending the metal bar. You know the metal bar, you bend it. He's that strong. I'm not saying guys don't, be healthy or don't work out. I'm not saying that to you. But imagine, guys, we just spend some part of that trying to purify our intentions. Just trying to rectify our intentions before the month of Ramadan. Because guys, wallahi, you can do as much ibadat as you want in this month. But just your intention not being correct could be the reason why you get sicker. Nothing when you reach the end of Ramadan. We know the famous hadith, right? إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ أَيْ لَا يُخْبَرُ أَيُّ عَمْلِ إِلَّا بِنِيَّةِ صَحِيحًا. No action is accepted from a person until he has the correct intention. Why are you fasting? Are you fasting all because it's the, you know, talk of the month, everybody's doing it, I'm going to do it as well? Or are you fasting based upon some fabricated hadith? صُومُ وَتَصَحُّ. Fast and you'll get, you know, you'll gain great health. Also, that I could look great, you know. At the end of the month, my husband maybe lost some weight because I'm a bit too big now. I'm not going to be eating throughout the month of Ramadan. Is that our main purpose as to why we are fasting? Just of not rectifying attention, it could be the reason why we get nothing. And this is why they say this hadith should go into every single chapter of fiqh. Whether you pray, you fast, you do hajj, your intention is not correct, you're not getting nothing. You know, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, in the Qabr, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, إِنَّ الْعَبْدِ إِذَا وُضِعَ فِي قَبْرِهِ وَتَوَلَّى عَنْهُ أَصْحَابُهُ وَإِنَّهُ لَيَسْمَعُ قَالَ عَنِ عَلِيٍّ فَأَتِيهِ مَلَكًا. When a person is placed in his grave, what happens? Those who dropped him off, they're going to go. They're beginning to hear his, they'll start hearing the movement of their shoes going back. Two angels come to him, فَأَتِيهِ مَلَكًا فِي قَيْدَانِ فِي قُولَانِ مَا كُدِ لَقُولِ لِهَذَا الرَّجُلِ. What did you used to say about this messenger? They ask him, the two angels, they sit him down. سَمِعْتُ النَّاسِ يَقُولُونَ شَيْئًا فَقُلْتُ. I heard the people saying something and I said it as well. Do we want to come on Yawm al-Qiyamah? We fasted just because, you know, otherwise we're not going to get iftar at 9:30. Or maybe because everybody else would do, oh, I'm going to feel left out. Can you see why this issue is very, very important? Or just because, you know, I want to come across that I'm righteous, pious. It's going to fix up my prayer at the time of what? When everybody's looking. Taraweeh time. Or because everybody's heading to the masjid, I'll head there as well. Guys, rectify your intentions, wallahi. You know, people are going to come on Yawm al-Qiyamah. He's big, fat and hench. As the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, إِنَّهُ لَيَأْتِ الرَّجُلَ الْعَظِيمِ السَّمِينِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامِ لَا يَزُنِ عِنَّ اللَّهِ جَنَهُ بَعُوضَةِ. He's big, fat and hench. Comes on Yawm al-Qiyamah, he doesn't weigh anything. لَا يَزُنِ عِنَّ اللَّهِ جَنَهُ بَعُوضَةِ. He won't weigh the weight of the wing of a mosquito. Forget about it. What happens when you get a bee or a mosquito or a fly and you place him on top of the, you know, the scale? Is it going to weigh anything? Imagine the wing. And the Prophet gave you the example of a wing. And then he said, اقرأوا فلا نقيم لهم يوم القيامة وزنا. Read. And the Quran says, on يوم القيامة we're not going to give them anything. Any weight whatsoever. Because guys, wallahi, no matter how big our bodies is, you know, we can become great security guards and bodybuilders. If your heart and your actions are not correct, or you're not doing things in a proper way, Allah is not even going to look at that. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ صُوَرِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَجْسَادِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَلَىٰ أَعْمَالِكُمْ. Allah will look at your bodies, the way you look, but that which concerns Him the most, your heart, and also your actions. Just keep, you know, a small part of your day trying to rectify this, instead of giving so much concern with the outer appearance. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. A month of Ramadan in which the Quran came down. Also, guys, you have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, كان أجود الناس. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the month of Ramadan, he was the most generous of people. وكان أجود ما يكون حين يلقاه جبريل فيدارس القرآن. And he would be the most generous when Jibreel عليه الصلاة والسلام used to come to him in the month of Ramadan, and he would teach him the Quran. وكان أجود ما يكون من ريح المرسلاء. And he would be more generous and more quicker to pay sadaqah than the wind. Very quick. Very, very quick. Two things that we get from these guys is that the Quran and also sadaqah has a very special relationship with the month of Ramadan. Has a special relationship with the month of Ramadan. Sadaqah and also what? Reading the Quran. And remember, guys, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't the richest of people. One time Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, دخل علينا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet entered upon us. فقال هل عندكم شيء? Is there anything in the house? قلنا لا. You know what he said? فإني إذا صائم. So I'm going to fast this day. There was a time when he left the house. There was nothing inside the house. So he left. He ended up meeting Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhum. They said to one another, what's the reason as to why you left the house? He said, مَا أَخْرَجَنِي إِلَّا الْجُوعِ. That which took me out of the home was nothing but hunger. And on top of that, guys, he was the most generous of people in the month of Ramadan. The most generous. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مَا تُحِبُّونَ. You won't attain piety until you spend that which you love. The Mufassirun, they say, the Shurah of this ayah, that the most beloved of things, the most beloved of things, giving that, and once you start doing that, then that's when you will start attaining piety. A scholar was asked, guys, about the Quran, how were the Salaf when it came to the Quran? You know what he said to him? Who can guess? Huh? He said to him, the Salaf were with the Quran the way you are today with your phone. The way you are today with your phone, this is how the Salaf they were when it came to the Quran. At every opportunity they would try to read the Quran in the month of Ramadan. Today, guys, wallahi, we have become addicted to the phone. Addicted. I saw a picture the other day on one of the, a brother sent it to me. Someone took a picture of six people standing at a train station. Six people were standing at the train station. Five of them, they were all on their phones. One of them was just looking. And someone put a comment at the bottom of the picture. You know what he said? Urgent, urgent. There's one guy who's up to date with the reality, he's looking at the reality. Everyone's on their phone. There's one guy. He's just looking. He's just admiring what's going on. Today, when you want to give salam to a person, you have to give salam to two things. You go to the guy, give him salam, you have to give salam to his phone as well. It's become two people. Two people that are interacting. Two people are sitting together, everyone's on their phone. This guy's on his phone, this guy's on his phone. That's four people that are sitting with each other. That's what it's become. Shaykh Sulaiman al-Rahili, who's from a mashayikh and is a teacher in the Prophet's masjid, he mentioned a story one time of an old woman. He said, أعجبني قصة امرأة أو عجوز. He said, I became amazed with what the old woman done. Obviously now she's old, all her kids are married, and you know. And they used to get together once a week. She said, anybody wants to come in my home, let him put his phone in that basket at the door. Let him put his phone at that what? Inside that basket at the door. Everyone's coming home and then everyone's just like in the only world. Everyone's in their rooms. She hasn't seen the family for so long. And when they come to the house, everyone's using their phone. Addiction. Wallahi, we've become worse than the druggie who needs his drugs. Try. Can you live without your phone for 24 hours? 48 hours? 3 days? Is that similar to a druggie? That's what busied us away from doing our ibadat. That's what? Busied us from doing our ibadat. I remember my brother said to me that what one of his uncles does is he's sitting near the router. Anytime he wants to get his kids together, he switches off the internet. And then they all come down. Just so he can grab their attention and, you know, he can get to them. Wallahi guys, I know, and this was, subhanAllah, when I went to Medina, my phone was locked. My phone was locked. I tried to go 3 times to go by internet. These routers, I can't put a SIM in there. Every time I went, something happened to me. First time I forgot my money. The second time, when I went back to that shop, they closed the shop. The third time, wallahi guys, I stood at the door. I said to myself, you've been here 2 weeks. You've done X, Y, and Z. You've memorized X, Y, and Z. You've studied this and that. You know yourself. Being in Britain, the amount of people, guys, that sometimes they contact those brothers who think, and they think that, you know, they can seek some advice from, you just become very busy. نَحْنُ نَعْلِفْ قَدْرَ أَنْفُسِنَا. No point of lying to ourselves. You get busy. Some part of your day, it goes towards what? Trying to deal with people, getting back to their queries, it can become a headache. Sometimes what I do, I just get my phone and I chuck it under the sofa. Let me just rest. You know, with the amount of, or the volume of, you know, inquiries and issues and things like that people are asking you about. And I said to myself, khalas, if I was able to live like this, with raha, nobody bothering you, you're able to do your ibadat, you don't have, you know, you can have a peace of mind. I'm not going to get it. And wallahi guys, a lot of people, they come to me, guys, you know, I don't find any time, I've got kids and, you know, I'm busy here, this, that. Every single one of them, I said to them, cut off from your internet and see how much time you get. And wallahi sarahatan, I don't get them people contacting me all because it's as if they found, you know, the cure for their problem. It's like you have to, like, every 10 seconds, 15 seconds, 20 seconds to look at your phone. So guys, how would the Salaf when it came to the month of Ramadan? And before I mention that, because that's like the icing on the cake, I want to mention, you know, in this Quran, guys, every single problem that we have, every issue in our lives, then don't look further than the Quran. Again, I'm not saying don't take the asbab. What happens when we lose a job? First place that we might run to is where? Job center. We become sick, what happens? Straight away we go and line up at the GP. Again, I'm not saying don't take that as bad. Why don't we guys just turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make dua to Him and act upon the Quranic verses and the prophetic tradition of the Prophet by turning to Him first? What did Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam say in Surah Al-Shu'ara? Who can guess? Jazakallah khair, Shaykh. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. If I become sick, it's Allah who cures me. Turn to Allah first. Act upon these hadith that talk about the dua. Asking Allah to give shifa. And I'm going to take the asbab. You know what being far away from the Quran does? It makes us so reliant upon the creation. Maybe one dua that you make, it could be the reason why you end up getting a job better than the job that you already had. By firstly turning to Allah acting upon the hadith. إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيِّيٌ كَرِيمٌ يَسْتَحِي مِنْ عَبْدِهِ إِذَا رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ إِلَيْهِ يَرُدُّ مَا سِفْرًا وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ أَدْعُونِ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Allah is shy and jealous that when his, you know, servant puts his hands up to him, he sends it back empty handed. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my Lord, when my servant, he asks about me, I'm close to him. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلِيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. الشاهد من الكلام, guys, بِاللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ, look what Ibn Taymiyyah says. He says, مَا رَأَيْتُ شَيْئًا يُغَذِّيَ الْعَقْلَ وَالرُّوحَ وَيَحْفَظُ الْجِسْمَ وَيَضْمُنُ السَّعَادَةَ أَكْثَرُ مِنْ إِدَامَةِ نَظَرِ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. I haven't seen anything that feeds the soul, the mind, also preserves the body, and it guarantees you happiness more than what? Constantly looking in the Qur'an. Just reading it. You know? And it constantly just like observes, contemplates upon the Qur'an. What happens when you do that? You tend to find different solutions to your problems. You want to soften your heart because it becomes so hard due to you being around Mahasi all the time. Read the Qur'an. As heart softeners in there. فَخْصُصِ الْقَصَصِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Allah says, tell them about the real stories in the Qur'an so that they may remember. Sometimes you're sitting by the fajr, after you've prayed, just read the Qur'an, try to read with tafsir ibn Kathir in the English language, you don't understand Arabic, and see how you end up becoming connected to the Qur'an. Billahi alayka, ask you, if the kuffar, they knew the reality of sabr, patience, and also al-qadr, the preordained decree, do you think he's going to go hang himself or chuck himself over a building that consists of maybe, you know, 25 floors, goes to the top and just chucks himself over? Don't think, guys, the majority of the people who commit suicide, they are people who are suffering financially. Not all of them. A guy has everything. A guy has everything. But he doesn't have the happiness. He doesn't have the happiness. A guy, he loses his job, he feels like, khalas. Wallahi, guys, I just remember the story now. When I was going through training at my call center, there was three of us. One of them was a guy who was around 45 years old. He really needed his job. He's been out of job, out of work for over a year. I think his name was Tony. So what happened was, I was the worst of them. Wallahi, guys, I was the worst. I didn't know how to speak on the phone. I didn't know how to speak on the phone. What some of my friends done, they helped me through the exam. You know the online exam that you do? They helped me with it. And they told me what to do at the, you know, the, what you call it? At the, what do you call it? The work thing before it. Huh? Sorry?
Assessment.
The assessment, nah. The work assessment, just before. And me, I'm just some Bedouin who came back from Yemen, doesn't have any qualifications, doesn't have a degree, and is just looking for a job. I don't know what is going on. So they helped me out. I ended up getting the best 3 out of the 40 that applied. So I'm in there just confused, doesn't know what to do, doesn't know how to speak on the phone, nothing. Well, like I always make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal. This guy, look what he done. He was better than me, right? 2 weeks later, I ended up becoming better than him. And he's just like, you know, suffering, stressed out, depressed, doesn't know how to do the job properly. We had a break. You know where he went, guys? He ended up going to the bridge. Wallah, he went to the bridge. He ended up coming late from the break. One of the managers says to him, why was you late? He tells the manager, oh no, I thought about doing it. He went to the bridge and this, that. I thought about committing suicide. هذا رجل لا يعرف القدر. He doesn't know patience. And in the end, he just goes, خلاص, I'm going to go. I can't work here anymore. It's a person for a whole year has been out of work. His kids became excited when he got work. His wife was happy, he was telling me. And now he's just thinking about taking away his life. A guy who knows the Quran, do you think he's going to do this? He's going to look in the Quran and say, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. And we'll examine you with the loss of wealth, as Allah mentions. But in the end, he says what? وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. We give glad tidings to those who are patient. Most of you don't know Fusitube, right? Kids. You know a famous YouTuber called Fusitube? He's a Muslim. But when you watch his video, you don't think the guy's a Muslim. Every now and again, his most recent went viral. Even I know some brothers who I'm very close with from Saudi Arabia started sending him advice. It's a Muslim, his name is Yusuf. What happened was, and he's a very big YouTuber. They say he's one of the best 10 in the world. He's a millionaire. He's making a video saying to the people, I'm so depressed, I don't know what I'm going to do, I'm going to close my YouTube channel, which 6 million people are subscribed to. 6 million, they're watching. Because I don't know what to do, I even thought about suicide, I don't know what I'm doing, I'm going to close my YouTube. The guy doesn't know what he's doing. You look into the Quran, what's missing in his life? Allah says in the Quran, very simple steps of how to attain a happy life. Again in the Quran. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. Two things, you do good deeds and you have iman. This person, we're going to give him a good life. Happy life. Very simple. Wallahi guys, I know millionaires. I personally know millionaires who are depressed and stressed in their lives. Has everything. He wants to, get something, makes a phone call, he comes to him straight away. But he doesn't have the happiness. Allah mentions to us in another verse, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَعْمَى. Whoever now turns away from the remembrance, we're going to give him what? A depressed life. And on Yawm al-Qiyamah is going to be brought and he's blind. As-Shahid ibn al-Kalam, you see now the solutions that most people are acquiring to obtain. That's mentioned in the Quran, it's easily obtainable. Just have to take, simple steps. You find a guy who's very, very poor, but he has iman. He's satisfied. He has qina'ah. He's satisfied with his life. Small things that he gets, he's satisfied. But because he has iman and he knows that the real life is the akhirah, and that this dunya that we're living in is sijnul mu'mini wa jannatul kafir. It's the prison of a mu'min. And also what? The jannah of a kafir. Let them do what they want. But we know there's a life when you're going to be trialed. How are the Salaf now when it came to the month of Ramadan? Al-Aswad ibn Yazid. They say about Al-Aswad ibn Yazid, he was someone that met some of the companions. He was from those who met some of the companions, like Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And she said about him, مَا بِالْعِرَاقِ أَحَدٌ أَكْرَمُ عَلَيَّ مِنَ الْأَسْوَدِ ibn Yazid. There's no one in Iraq that is more noble to me than Al-Aswad ibn Yazid. They say, he had 80 hajjs and umrah. 80 hajjs and umrah. And you know how he was in the month of Ramadan? يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ فِي كُلِّ لَيْلَتَيْنِ فِي رَمَضَان. Every 2 nights he would finish the Quran. Wallahi guys, when you look at it, it's not something that is impossible. First step is, get your phone and throw in the basket at the door. Wallahi, if you just see the amount of time that we spend on the Quran and the amount of time we spend on the phone. The Quran is offline and the WhatsApp is what? Online. The Quran is always offline. When we hear the Quran, it tends to always fall on what? Deaf ears. When one of your friends sends a message, we run to it. We wake up in the morning, the guy's like that. Where's my phone? He's looking at it, he's got all fish in his face, and first thing, what's up with the Quran? Sorry, with the phone. Then you have Ibrahim al-Nakhai. What he used to do is, وَكَانَ النَّخَعِ يَفْعَلُ ذَٰلِكَ فِي الْعَشْرِ الْأَوَاخِرِ مِنْهُمْ. يعني يختم في ليلتين. In the last 10 days, he was from the most tremendous of the tabi'een. What he used to do is, in the last 10 days, he would complete the Qur'an every two nights. As for the rest of the days of the Ramadan, first 20, he would do it every three nights. Finish the Qur'an. Finish the Qur'an every three nights. Imam al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah, he said about him, كان عجبا في الورع والخير متوقيا لشهرتي رأسا في العلم. He was someone that when it came to piety and goodness, he was someone that you'd be amazed of. متوقيا للشهرة. He would always try to stay away from being known and becoming famous and رأسا في العلم. And he was one of the leaders when it came to knowledge. وكان إمام الزهري رحمه الله تعالى إذا دخل رمضان قال فإنما هو تلاوة القرآن وإطعام الطعام. When the month of Ramadan came, he would say that this is the month where you read the Quran and you would feed the poor. Now look at Imam Malik. We know Imam Malik, right? One of the four greatest a'imma. When you hear a'immatul arba'a, a'immatul arba'a, Imam Shafi'i alayhi rahmatullah, the great Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Ahmed and Imam Malik. And he has a great kitab called Al-Muwatta, where he compiled the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They say, or Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that this is the most authentic book. طيب, but we know it's Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala's kitab, right? This was before Imam Bukhari and the author of kitab, and before Imam Muslim came. Imam Malik's Muwatta, which was a compilation of a hadith, was the most authentic and the best book around. He said, إذا دخل رمضان, كان إمام مالك رحمه الله تعالى, إذا دخل رمضان, يفر من قراءة الحديث. Pay attention, guys. He would run away from reading a hadith. It's not like he's running away from a asi. He's running away from a hadith, just for this month. ومجالسة أهل العلم. And also some of the gatherings of the people of knowledge, he wouldn't attend it. ويخبر على تلاوة القرآن من المصحف. And he would busy himself with reciting the Quran from the Mus'haf. كان سفيان الثوري رحمه الله تعالى إذا دخل رمضان ترك جميع العبادة وأقبل على تلاوة القرآن. When the month of Ramadan came, he would turn away from all the ibadat and he would busy himself with reading the Quran. Guys, this is how the Salaf they were when it came to the month of Ramadan. They gave a lot of concern to it. They gave a lot of time to it. That became their best friend. Every opportunity that you have, guys, na'am, your fasting is tiring. I remember even some guys, when they heard that Ramadan was going to be 18 hours, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. As if a calamity dropped on them. When do you say Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un? Huh? Allah says in the Quran, الَّذِينَ إِلَىٰ أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ. When a calamity befalls on you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising the people of, you know, piety. When a calamity drops on them, what do they say? إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. These are the blessings is going to be sent down upon them. And they are the guided ones. We're looking at Ramadan as a musibah. Wallahi, guys, it's a blessing in disguise. And I'll tell you why. Do you think the guy who's fasting in Britain here gets the same reward as the guy in Saudi Arabia is only doing for 8 hours? La. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Ujuru ala qadri al-mashaqqa. A person is rewarded in accordance to his what? The difficulty he goes through in the ibadah. So we go through 17 hours. Or what, how many hours is it? 16, 18. You know? It's not the same. La yastawiyani mathala. And also because we have another perfect opportunity to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 18 hours. You know, a benefit that I benefited from just before I left by Sheikh Abdul Razak al-Badr, the son of the great Muhaddithin al-Madina. He said that something special about the month of Ramadan is that you have dua. And he has a khususiyah to this month. If you look at the ayat of Siyam in Surah Al-Baqarah, how does the first ayah start? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Second ayah, what does it talk about? شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن, the third one. وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان. The third ayah is speaking about الدعاء. The fourth ayah, what's it speaking about? أحل لكم ليلة الصيام رفث إلى نسائكم. It's talking about Siyam again. So the Shaykh, he mentioned that the issue of dua was sandwiched by the ayat of Siyam to show you that this has a significance in this month. There's something special about Islam, the issue of dua. And there's another hadith that explains it further. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا تُرَدُّ دَعْوَتُهُمْ. Three people, their dua will be rejected. You know what the first one was? الإمام العادل, the just ruler. Second one, الصائمي حتى يفتوى. The person is fasting until he breaks it. الصائمي حتى يفتوى. Third one, دعوة المظلوم. Don't just think your dua is going to be accepted just before you break your fast. There is a hadith for that. We have 17 hours. How many problems do we have, guys? We want to make dua for our kids. Some of them, they're going off the rails. Some of them, our sisters, they're beginning to reveal themselves. You know? So many things that we have. We want better jobs. We want a better akhirah. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Allah says, you know, the dua, رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Now Allah quotes this at the end of Surah Al-Furqan, making dua, رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا. Oh Allah, you know, give us from our wives offspring that will bring utter joy to the eyes, and make them an immah that are pious of this religion. Guys, an opportunity to make dua, to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many issues that we want, you know, to be solved. Try and seize this opportunity through this way. It was a month of activity, guys. When the Ramadan was prescribed, in the month of Ramadan, guys, sorry, after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Hijrah, it was in the second year. It was also the year which Ghazwat Badr took place. The expedition, the Battle of Badr. It was on the 17th day of Ramadan on a Jum'ah. 17th day of Ramadan on a Jum'ah. Also, Fathu Mecca. You know, when they conquered Al-Mecca. It was again in the month of Ramadan. To show you that it was a month of activity. Not a month of just sleeping. You know, a guy sleeps, بعد الفجر, wakes up Dhuhr, goes sleep again Asr, then Maghrib. Just before Iftar, he's woken up, he eats, and then, you know, go sleep again. Maybe basing on some hadith that is munkar. You know what this hadith is? There's a narration that says, صَمْتُ الصَّائِمِ تَسْبِيحٌ. A person who's fasting, him being quiet, the silence of a person who's fasting, he is as if he's doing tasbih. He gets the reward of tasbih. SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. Just him being quiet. ونوم الصائم عبادة ودعوة مستجابة. And the noom, the sleeping of the person who is fasting, is ibadah. And his dua that he makes, he gets accepted. So a person might look at this narration, I'm just going to sleep all day from the virtues of Ramadan, that means sleeping. You know, I'm going to get all sorts of reward, just being quiet, I get tasbih. It's happy days, you know? But the reality of this hadith, guys, is a munkar. It's a month of activity, it's a month working on yourself, you know? And it's not just about refraining from food and drink. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us, you know, fasting is not just stay away from food and drink. I'm going to read out something that, you know, Shaykh Abdul Razzaq al-Badr mentioned. And it's a statement of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala, the great companion, said, إِذَا صُمْتَ فَلْيَصُمْ سَمْعُكَ وَبَصَرُكَ وَلِسَانُكَ. If you fast, then not also your hearing. Sam'uka, your eyes, wadisanuka, and also your tongue. Let them fast as well. From what? Anil kadibi wal ma'athir. Let them fast, withholding from what? Lying and also sins. Now I know it's difficult. Summer, you know, you find all sorts of women walking around naked. But wallahi, guys, you know, as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, you know, he says, guys, أن غض البصر أصل أصيل في حفظ القلب. It's from the foundation, the biggest of the foundations of preserving your heart. Once you lower your gaze, what happens? It enables a person to safeguard his private parts. And there's a reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned lowering your gaze. قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم. He talked about lowering your gaze first. And then what? Preserving your private part. Because once you do that, a blind guy, is he able to chirp his girls? Huh? Is he able to see anything that he, you know, becomes aroused by it? He's blind, can't see anything. So he's been saved a lot of fitna. That's why a person, he lowers his gaze. That's why some of the Salaf on the day of Eid, they would be walking around like this, looking at the thumb. Wallahi, hada thabat. And Ba'ad al-Salaf, it's coming out on the day of Eid, he's doing this, walking around. He's not mad. But he's trying to, you know, look at his thumb so his eyes don't become inclined towards looking at all the fitna that comes out on the day of Eid, just to preserve their hearts. You know? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guys, to make us sincere. Most important thing, guys, is sincerity. With whatever ibadah that we do, you won't actualize true sincerity until you always ask yourself in the ibadat. I'm praying, why am I praying? Did I really do it for Allah? Am I trying to seek His reward? This is something that Salaf, they found difficult. You know, Sufyan al-Thawri, you know, he said, مَا عَالَجْتُ شَيْئًا أَشَدَّ عَلَيَّ مِن نِيَّتِي لِأَنَّهَا تَتْغَلَّبُ عَلَيَّ. I never worked so hard in trying to rectify anything that it was more difficult upon me than what? In my intention. Why? Because it changes all the time. Sulaiman al-Hashim, you know, he said, and this amazed me, guys. He said, رُبَّمَا أُحَدِّثُ بِحَدِيثٍ وَلِنِيَّةٍ. I might narrate a hadith and I have an intention. ثُمَّ آتِي لَا بَعْضِهِ فَتَتَغَيَّرُ نِيَّتِي. Then I'll come to another part of the hadith and my intention changes. Let's just say the hadith, there's five lines, right? Five lines of the hadith. While he's reading the first part, he has an intention. He might be sincere. Then he reaches line number 3. Because my intention might change. Maybe there's more people sitting in front of him now. Maybe he's trying to impress those who are, you know, around him. So he said, فَحَدِيثُ الْوَاحِدُ يَحْتَاجُ لَنِيَّاتٍ. One hadith might need multiple intentions. Multiple intentions. I heard Sheikh Sulaiman al-Ruhaili saying in the Haram, he said, me sitting on this chair while everyone's sitting around him, I'm striving against myself. I'm striving against myself, trying to stay sincere. And this is the blessing that you see and you obtain when sitting with the scholars, how they are. Just watching the akhlaq, their mannerism, the way they adorn themselves, the way they go about. It's fighting. وَمَنْ يَأْمَنُ بَعْدَكَ. Who is going to be safe from it? When these are from مِمَّا نَحْسِبُهُمْ, from the most rectified and the most righteous of people that we know. No? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us sincere, to bless us, to make this a month, you know, that we may get the maximum and the optimum reward. And not to make us from those who are mentioned in the hadith, رُبَّ صَائِبْ لَيْسَ لَوْ مِنْ سِيَمِ لَجُّعْ وَالْعَطَشِ. Perhaps he might fast, he gets nothing. Except what? جُعْ and عَطَش. Thirst and hunger. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك.
بارك الله فيك وجزاكم الله خير. ونسال الله سبحانه وتعالى to reward our teacher, Ustadh Abu Taymiyyah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enlighten him and to increase him in knowledge and to enlighten his way. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who benefit from the speech and act upon it, and not to make us of those who hear the speech and not to act upon it. Inshallah, we'll give you opportunity now to ask any questions in regard to the topic of Ramadan and what we have. And inshallah, the admin will provide the pen and paper for the sisters to write the questions. And the brothers on this floor, they can put their hand up, inshallah, in a nicely manner. And they can ask anything pertaining to the subject. Jazakumullah khair.